Blog Talk Radio.
Happy birthday. Yeah. We want to dedicate this song to everyone who has a birthday today. And that means you, and you, and you, and you. Because having a birthday is a special occasion. And we hope you have a happy celebration and a many, many more to come.
On this beautiful summer evening. A Book is Born, Episode 7 on Tri-Family Channel is a gumbo for the soul international family brand created, owned, and operated by yours truly, All Rights Reserved. If you are looking for a publisher, feel free to contact me. I am at gumbofortheSoulInternational.com. You can listen live here at blogtalkradio.com/gumbofortheSoul, or you can call in 9993-999-3778. Now, today's guest, I'm happy to introduce, is a published author, formerly going by the name of Gerald Marsick. He's going to tell us all about his writing journey. I'm going to call him by what I have been privileged to call him, and that is Jerry, short for Gerald. So, ladies and gentlemen, live on Tribe Family Channel, please help me welcome Jerry Marsick. Good evening, Jerry. How are you?
Beverly, thank you for having me here. I'm really pleased to be talking with you.
Well, I'm pleased to have you. I want to shout out Michelle A. Berard, LLC, for making this phenomenal connection. And we're not going to waste any time because I want to know, and I love, as a publisher, learning all the different roads that people take towards their writing journey. So we're going to start off with the young man. Who is Jerry? Where are you from? What type of child were you?
You know, I grew up in the far south suburbs of Chicago. And one of the things that struck me was, what's that?
No, I just said, what? I exclaimed.
Okay, fair enough. You know, I went to a Catholic grade school in the far south suburbs of Chicago, and I was mostly taught by nuns, okay? And, you know, this was a very strict school. We didn't have any music, no art. We didn't even have a playground in my school. It was just the classic reading, writing, arithmetic, and religion in my grade school. And, you know, being myself, I would ask questions, okay? And, you know, I would ask questions in religion classes, and the nuns got really frustrated with me, and they told me, you know, Jerry, stop reading the Bible, okay? Because you'll only get confused. And if you have any questions, just talk to Father Naughton, he'll give you an answer, okay? Well, it turns out I'm not the first person in history to ask these kind of questions, you know? And the kind of questions I would ask the nuns were like, why is the strict and vengeful God of the Old Testament so different from the loving God of the New Testament, okay? And I would ask that question. And then I would ask questions like, well, what does it mean to be the Son of God? Okay, does that mean God the Father creates Jesus? Is Jesus subordinate to God the Father? And more importantly, why isn't there a mother of God? Okay. And I said, well, what kind of celestial family is this? You know, a father, a son, and a disembodied androgynous spirit. That didn't make any sense to me. Okay.
And, well, there's
you
a
know,
lot
I'm not the,
to that.
What's that?
I said, and there's a lot to that. I love the inquisitiveness of your questioning.
And so, I was like that all through grade school. And, you know, and they, like I said, they finally told me, stop asking questions, okay? You're only getting in trouble. But about 20 years ago, I read a scholarly book. It was by Elaine Pagel. She is a professor of religious studies at Princeton University. And the book was called The Gnostic Gospels, okay? And it's a very scholarly book, and it's just filled with all kinds of references, okay? And the thesis of her book is that the formation of the Christian church that we know of today was a political event, not a divine process. And it turned out in the year 300 or so, Emperor Constantine called a council of about 300 leaders in Nicaea, Turkey, in 325 AD to decide what does it mean to be a Christian. And literally, these bishops who were invited there, they had votes to decide, okay, what's in, what's out. And that was a political process. And the people who did not agree with the consensus and who were voted down were then prosecuted as heretics by the church and also by the emperor itself. So, you know, one of the problems with that, it was a very scholarly book, and it really inspired me to write a novel based on this concept of the politics of religion, okay? Because I found that having a novel would be more compelling to a lot of people than reading a scholarly book.
Well, I really, really appreciate, I'm going to call that a dissertation because you dove deep for the sake of the understanding of deity, religion, Christianity. The little boy, Jerry, he wants to know because he knows what he's reading and some of it is nonsensical. I can relate to that. I've read the Bible from cover to cover. I have tore up the Bible, highlighting, tearing pages because I'm reading and it's well-worn. And I tell you, one of the points that I feel is confirmed by your dissertation is my minister, he says that Jesus was a radical Jesus, a direct action type Jesus. See, so that goes back to not being about holiness, but held to account as to man's actions and activities. Otherwise, there'd been no reason to turn over the tables in the tabernacle. And when you say the politics of, well, what is Christianity, it just really begs to continue to dig deep. The book that you mentioned, could you repeat that title once more?
Yeah, the title, it's by Elaine Pagels, and it's called The Gnostics, and it's spelled spelled G-N-O-S-T-I-C, The Gnostic Gospels. And what was so interesting about this process it is pretty clear that Jesus himself did not create a religion. It was the people who came after him that created the religion, okay? And, you know, the problem is that you have different people who heard different things at different times, and they had different interpretations, okay? And like your minister, you know, said, well, you know, we need to take direct action, and other people were, you know, had different opinions. And, you know, how do you reconcile these differences of opinion when there is no confirmed, you know, belief system, right? And what happened was
skewed.
Yes, and so what happened is that, you know, back in those days, and my book is centered in the year 177 AD, where there were all kinds of interpretations of what did it mean to be a Christian, what did it mean to be a heretic. What happened was that the behaviors of humans has not changed in 2,000 years, okay? And, you know, and how do you establish the difference between truth and disinformation, right?
Mm-hmm,
What happened is the same thing that's happening today, is that if you are trying to convince someone that your point of view is right, you establish alliances and voting blocks, right? You spread false information, false narratives against your opposition. You resort to name-calling and defamation. What you do is you shun people, and you isolate them, right? And then you control the media. You control the media by destroying books and their literature, right? These are all the same things in play in the 21st century America. They were all true in Rome in 177 AD. That's part of what I was trying to capture. It was a very fascinating time to be alive.
Wow. Well, Jerry, in full disclosure, I'm also the creator of two radio shows. The first one, I'm the creator of several radio shows, but the two that I would like to mention in light of the subject that we're on, I am the creator of a radio show called The Woman at the Well. And, because we have to go deep. And I really, really love, had I known that you were going this deep, I would have asked my minister to join us, because he would be really pleased to hear what you are saying. He and I discuss all the time just how, and I mean everything that you just said, in terms of the landscape of our current sociological condition, we'll call it that, when it comes to the lies that are being perpetuated, which means that the perceptions that are being shaped by the narratives and lies. And they've gotten so good, now we have to call a lie an untruth. Well, I'm sorry, but I'd like to just call a lie a lie, if you don't mind. But that's part of it. Go ahead.
You know, Beverly, you know, and a good example of defamation is that if you ask any person on the street, who was Mary Magdalene? Okay, what are they going to say? They'll probably say, well, she was a prostitute, okay?
You know they're going to talk about the dark side, see?
And the reality is there's not a single statement in the Bible that describes Mary Magdalene as a prostitute. In fact, she is a saint of the Catholic Church. I've been in, you know, in Italy, in the Church of St. Mary Magdalene, right? And you think about that, you say, you know, she was like, she had demons expelled from her by Jesus, and she became a close follower, okay? She was on the boat on the Sea of Galilee. She was at the Last Supper. She was at the crucifixion, and she was the first person that Jesus revealed himself to after the resurrection, okay? So where did this prostitute stuff come from? It was all defamation, okay? It was all trying to deny that Jesus, you know, that was one of his closest followers was a woman, okay? And many of the
Gnostics, you hit the nail on the nose.
Some of the early believers believed that he was actually married to her, okay? You know, that's, you know, clear that many people in the early church wanted to exclude the divine feminine from any kind of religion. They felt that, you know, they were very anti-woman, you know, they wanted to make sure that, you know, they were very, you know, and those people are in my story, okay? And
sorry for cutting you off, but listen to what you are saying as far as the ostracization of women. Come on, the woman at the well, five husbands you had and the sixth wasn't yours, and she goes back and tells the multitudes. So if she brought back all these people, were the five or the six men not among the multitudes? And where do you read about the men being held to account if the woman at the well was this loose woman? Because remember, she's supposed to be who? She's supposed to be, who's her father's, who owns the well? Oh, my goodness, it escapes me. But she had brothers and a father, Jacob's well. Now, her father was Jacob. Yes. He owned the well and the land it was on. So if Jesus stopped by and spoke to this woman, where are the men? But it's not written. And it just really goes back to, I really can appreciate your perspective. Let's go back to, and ladies and gentlemen, if you just tuned in, I'm so excited. Jerry Marcik is breaking down religion and perspective. And, of course, he's a new author. He has a book out. He's going to give us the 411 on where to grab this page turner. And I really wish I would have grabbed it before I got him on the show. Thanks to Michelle A. Berard, LLC, for making this possible. We want to shout out our sponsors, Gordavi, LLC, Inc., Tribe Family Channel, Gumbo for the Soul, and I'm Beverly Black. Press 1 if you'd like to ask questions at the end of the interview. But what I can appreciate so much is the perspective that you're bringing, because we can, you know, we can read, it goes back to the classroom experiment. The teacher tells one student a story. That story is repeated until it goes to all the students, and by the time the last student tells the story, it's nothing like the beginning, because the different perspectives of every student whose narrative is now evoking this story to the next student has a different way of looking at it, like when you were a student and your way of looking at the Bible and asking your teacher these phenomenal questions. So let's go back to the title of your book. And I know I cut you off to just, I really had to get it in there about the woman at the well. Her story, she's ostracized. Like you said, Mary, calling her a prostitute. Okay, so then if you say the Virgin Mary, what, she was without a husband? Joseph was, because how can you conceive if everything requires conception in the natural world? Where is this immaculate conception? It really gets Tangled. But shout out your book for our listeners and give us some type of feedback, reviews, and other perspectives that you may have heard about your book.
So, yes, my book is a novel, and it's about nurses, and it's set in two places. One is the city of Lyon, okay, in France, and also in Rome. And it turns out that during that time, the emperor was Marcus Aurelius, and you know, Marcus Aurelius was a very benign and very educated person, and he tolerated all kinds of different religions in Rome. He, you know, they had all different kinds of cultures. Imagine, it's almost like America today, okay, where people come in, you know, and they brought whatever they brought to the empire, and the empire used the best and discarded the rest. But they had one clear rule, which is, the emperor was in charge, and the, you could celebrate whatever religion you wanted, okay, as long as you believed in the genius of the emperor, and that was the one capital offense, was treason against the emperor. And, you know, one of the misconceptions that people have is they think that the early Christians were persecuted because they believed in Jesus. No. It was because they did not believe in the emperor, okay? And that was like a fatal, that was fatal, okay? And so what happens in my book, because it's a novel, it starts off in Lyon, okay? And, you know, and what happens in my book is that the tax collector who's in charge of, you know, the gladiatorial games, is surprised by the emperor that he's got to come up with about a dozen more games, okay, which are very expensive. And what happens is that he devises a plot to blame Christians for this, and so he can use them to be, you know, in the arena. In my plot, there is the bishop of Lyon, Irenaeus, that is a historical figure. He travels to Rome to get help from the Pope, okay? And along the way, he encounters heretics and misadventures. And when he gets to Rome, he meets together with other historical figures. One of them is Valentinus, who is the head of the Gnostics, and also one of the strong church leaders, Tertullian, who was a very influential person and very against women, okay? And so the conflict is, you know, the conflict is, how do you reconcile, you know, all of these different opinions? My book has two very strong women in it. One of them is a educated woman in Lyon, okay? Another one is an educated woman in Rome who is the daughter of a bookseller. And, you know, I like to think I have two very strong women characters in the book. And so those are the five characters, okay? The bishop from Lyon, a very educated woman in Lyon, a woman in Rome who is married to, she is in an abusive relationship with her husband, okay, who is a centurion. And then, of course, you know, Valentinus, the head of the Gnostics, if you would, the heretics, if you would. And then also a very strong church leader named Tertullian. The book itself has violence in it. It has sex in it, okay? And some of the feedback that I've gotten is, wow, this has got a lot of sex, Jerry. And I kind of, well, you know, I'm sorry. That's what people did in Rome.
He said, I'm sorry.
Because, you know, and I'm sorry, you know, even my editor said, I'm sure you want, even my editor said, you know, this is like really sexy, Jerry. Do you want to include this? And I'm going, yes, I do. You know how hard it is to write something that's sexy? Okay, I wanted to have that in there. And because it really shows how she was abused by her husband, okay? Does that make sense?
You know, I really appreciate that because if, you know, if you're asking me to make sense. I appreciate your level of writing when it comes to art mirrors life, and to be able to bring forth a story weaving in and out of the religiosity that we've been exposed to all throughout time, and to find the correlations of oppression, if you will, those that, just like you were saying, you know, fealty to the emperor. Well, the emperor has no clothes, and this is the problem we have today. A man wants to be God. So, of course, we've read the Bible. It's nonsensical in so many ways, because for all of the reasons why, when you opened up the show with what I call a dissertation that is profoundly put. We are going to take a quick commercial break on A Book Is Born, live on Tribe Family Channel. I am Beverly Black. It is an honor, privilege, and a pleasure to have Mr. Gerald Marsick here discussing his book. And I'm telling you, this is a very deep art, truly mirrors life. We'll be right back.
You know the name.
You saw their story on Untucked.
You remember the hits.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the legendary Shy Life featuring Marshall Thompson.
For over 50 years, the legendary Shy Lights have performed all over the world to standing room only crowds.
And now here's a brand new book
from the only original remaining member of this fabulous group.
The book is entitled Last Man Standing by Marshall Thompson, which chronicles the group's rise to fame with two number one hits and dozens of Billboard top 10 hits. The Shy Lights were forced to be reckoned with. Last Man Standing is the story of a personal side of a man who sang about love, romance, and dreams. It will have you laughing out loud one moment and tearing at your heartstrings the very next. Last Man Standing by the legendary Marshall Thompson. Available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and eBooks.
And ladies and gentlemen, Tribe Family Channel is currently being broadcast from the estate home of Mr. Marshall Thompson of the Shy Lights. And I, of course, am his business partner, and we have a radio show called Soulful Music with Marshall Thompson. We have a book coming out, and it is depicted upon six seasons of soul. The foreword is by Dr. Otis Williams of The Temptations. So be sure to look for that coming August 24th, 2023, on the 81st birthday of Dr. Marshall Thompson. And I want to thank my guest here, Jerry. Where can people get your book? This is like a phenomenal, like I said, art mirrors life. You came on to the show letting us know that art was the last thing in your school. And I just want to remind everyone here live on A Book Is Born that art is essential, and I do mean essential, in a child's education. We don't know what the child is made of without the freedom of expression. And that freedom of expression comes through the arts, whatever you introduce by way of the arts. But it's still predicated upon the freedom of expression, which herein will allow you to get to know who's inside that child and the imaginative genius of that child. Jerry, thank you for your imaginative genius, art mirroring life. You're from Chicago. That's where the Shy Lights are from. I don't know if you recognize any of that music history, but the fact that your book is born out of a foundation that did not have art in the school, and yet you found your way for the expression to come through such a phenomenal description of your novel. Please let our listeners know where, and let me know. I'm going to have to get my copy. And thank you, Michelle A. Berard, LLC, for this phenomenal booking on A Book Is Born. But Jerry, one final question before you let our listeners know where they can purchase your book. And I want to say, ask you, what advice would you have for other authors, would-be writers, publishers? I'm an author, writer, publisher, all of the above. And what advice, because we're all still learning, it's a good thing to be receptive. Drop some gems of advice on our listeners as well as your host here so we can all take advantage of your knowledge and sage wisdom. And then let our listeners know where we can get your book. Tell us about the title again and any website or shout outs.
The best advice I can give anyone is that if you're going to be a writer, you need to write every single day. And you have to set aside time to write every day. You can't wait to be inspired. And some days are magical. Other days are like sandpaper, okay? But you have to keep writing.
Ooh! Ladies and gentlemen, Jerry, the way I interpret what you just said is that you have to have discipline and you cannot wait for something external of yourself to motivate you and inspire you. Whatever you are going to write is going to start from within and work its way out. That is my interpretation and what I'm taking from those gems that Jerry just dropped. And I want to thank you for being here as my guest on A Book Is Born. It is very important. Just write. Just get it out. Just get it out.
Yes, carefully. My book is available both in paperback and on ebook on Amazon.com.
Okay, phenomenal. And what is the title of your book once again for our listeners before we sign off?
It is called The Heretics.
Phenomenal. Congratulations again on your book, on your writing journey. And are there any books coming in the future? I know I said that was the last question, but one last question. What books are coming in the future?
I have a second book that is now at my editor, and she's going to be reading it and give me some feedback this summer, and I expect to have a second book out, which will not be about religion. Okay. It'll be coming out sometime this year, okay?
Well, I encourage my listeners to take a deep dive into your first book and be caught up when this next book drops because I believe that it really, like you said earlier, it's hard to write about sex. It's hard to really mirror life if you're really honing in on the craft. This is not a walk in the park. And with all due respect to our readers, they can tell. They don't want dumbed down, simplified, non-thought out, lack of indulgence on the part of the writer. Otherwise, they have no reason to read it. So thank you for your time, Jerry. Thank you for being here on Tribe Family Channel. A Book Is Born. You are always welcome back, and we want to salute you on the drop of your book, your impending title, and we are looking forward to hearing all about that next book. So you take care. Have a wonderful summer. And to all of you, thank you for tuning in. You can catch the archives at blogtalkradio.com/Gumbo for the Soul. And as you know, we just dropped our 20th anniversary edition of Gumbo for the Soul. It is available at gumbofortheSoulInternational.com. It is called Men and Women of Honor. The foreword is by Dr. Yvonne Sion, who just happens to be Dave Chappelle's mother. And that's a whole nother story. But thank you again for tuning in. And have a blessed day. Good night. God bless.
Cozy Stone is a multi-talented comedian extraordinaire who has a real lust for life. She also combines humor and motivation, where she is known as a humorvational speaker. Her youthful ways and positive light make her a beacon for those of all ages. Cozy has lived a remarkable life that has paved the way for so many. She had the longest-running open mic venue of 11 years at Tommy Rockers in Vegas, called Cozy's Comedy Corner, through which she introduced many up-and-coming comedians. Before going into comedy, she was one of the first female personal trainers and one of the top fitness trainers in the world. She has trained many greats such as Billie Jean King, Roberta Flack, Andrew Young, Ed Bradley, CCH Pounder, Al Pacino, and Earl Monroe. As a former competitive bodybuilder, she also owned a bodybuilding gym for women over 40 in Los Angeles for several years. She has worked in top positions for HBO, Playboy, and Tony Robbins. She also enjoys volunteer work, dedicating time to the New York Foundling Hospital and babies with AIDS. Cozy Stone has a message that shouldn't be missed.
Tribe Family Channel. Tribe Family Channel.